It's good to see everybody this morning. I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship. The only announcement that I am aware of this morning is the flower announcement, which you will find on the back of the bulletin. A donation has been made by Dillard and Cecilia Davison to the glory of God and in loving memory of Seal's dear aunt, dear sweet aunt, on her birthday. And we thank you for that. Gracious and loving Lord, indeed we know that you are with us, so we offer our hearts and our souls and our minds to you, praying that you might receive thanksgiving and praise from us, and we might receive the message through whatever means you speak to us, that we might be drawn closer to you. As we proceed, we pray this service is pleasing to your sight and your hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany of praise this morning is a prayer. It's a prayer to God that He would make us more into the image that He would have us be. It's also a prayer of submission, because until we submit to God's will, He can't make us into those people that we should be. So will you join me? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Thou art the Father. I am the clay.
Mold me and make me after thy will.
While I am waiting, yield it and still.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Search me and try me. Set your turn.
Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now.
As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Hold over my being, absolute sway.
Fill with thy spirit till all shall see
Christ only always, living in me.
As we share our joys and concerns this morning and go to the Lord in prayer, please note your prayer list that's in your bulletin. Highlighting some this morning, obviously we remember the family and friends of Sam Lachlan who passed away suddenly Monday. We want to remember Charles Sims this morning. On Tuesday, he is going to have a procedure to correct some leaky heart valves, and that's going to be at Embry Midtown, and that's going to be Tuesday. So we want to remember Charles in a special way. And a praise this morning, but still an ongoing prayer. Ken Langhoff has his dialysis has been suspended as long as his numbers cooperate. So it's not a definite that he never will have dialysis again, but if his numbers stay where they are, then he does not have to have dialysis. So we praise the Lord that he's made this much progress, and pray that the numbers stick and even get better. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, as we come, we do pray that you would have your own way. For that would be the biggest praise that we could offer you, that you take our lives and mold us into the image of Jesus, that we would not hold anything back from you, whether it be in committing our riches, our talents, our time, or whether it be withholding our trust in the various challenges of life, but that we would just be yours. And in being yours, you would guide us, you would direct us, you would lead us, so that everything we say, do, and even think would bring you glory. Gracious Lord, we know that most of us are not there yet, but we pray that every day that you wake us up, we grow closer and closer to that place. So we just offer this service to you, praying that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide, that you would speak to hearts and minds and souls through various aspects of this service, and that all of this service we glorify you. And we do thank you this morning that you did wake us up. And in your love, you placed it in our hearts to come and to gather with you. That you placed it in our hearts to come and to worship. So Lord, we just pray that as we have come and we have shared joys and concerns, we thank you for those places where we have seen you with our eyes at work. And we know in those places where we have not seen with our eyes, we know with our hearts you are still at work. So we just lift all of our concerns to you this morning, trusting each and every one to your will and your wisdom, asking your healing touch upon those who still struggle and for those who grieve the loss of loved ones. We pray your peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, let us never forget, though it may at times seem repetitive in every service, to say how grateful we are to be worshiping you in freedom. Lord, we know that that is a privilege. And in the saying of it, may we be reminded of what that privilege is. And in the saying of it, may we be reminded of those men and women in military and civilian roles who protect that freedom. Many are in harm's way, even as we worship, and others are just a contact away. May you protect those who protect us. And Lord, we know this morning that you have blessed Walker Church in so many ways, even in these strange times, we have still been blessed. So, Lord, may we be a blessing in whatever opportunities you send our way. And when we leave these grounds, remind us that you are with us as we know that you are. May we feel your presence. And may you lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. You have blessed us with all of life, and you have given us an opportunity to bring back a portion of the financial blessings that you have bestowed upon us as the church attempts to serve you through them. So Lord, we pray that your blessings continue on each gift and giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will, spreading your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Wonderful words of love. Christ, the blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of love. Sinners to the loving call, wonderful words of life.
Before we start with our business this morning, I just want to, as they say at conference, take a moment of personal privilege. And note that this is coming from me, because my mama used to say sometimes preachers blame things they say on the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit didn't have a thing to do with it. So this is just something I felt, and if it's worth anything to you, that's good, but it'll help me just to say it. First of all, thank you. Thank y'all for being so faithful to coming. I know wearing those masks are not comfortable. And I imagine the sermon seems a little bit longer while you're having to wear that mask and try to listen. But you're here. So thank you. I told Sally this morning before we walked in that room back there, and I said, I feel discombobulated this morning. Now, yes, part of it's because of Sam's death and trying to deal with that. But I don't know if y'all notice or not. I don't know when to take my mask off, when to put it on. When I put it on, it's fogging my glasses. When I've got my glasses off, I can't see my bulletin, you know. So we all feel it. But I sense the Lord telling me while Putt and Sally were presenting the special, I'm here. Offer thanks to me that you're not in some country where you can't even come to church. And when you can't come to church in America, at least you can do it online. So thank me. And even though it's so different the way our gatherings have to take place for the next several months, probably, I'm there. So I may just be talking to John and nobody else. I sense the Lord telling me, stop focusing on the different things you're having to do and just focus on me being here and realize I'm here. So maybe I was just talking to John. But if it helps anybody else, I'll offer that to you. Our scripture lesson this morning is Genesis 45, verses 4 through 8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come closer to me. And they came closer. He said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you, to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have related to you on more than one occasion. Sometimes I feel drawn to a passage, and yet I want to withdraw from it at the same time. And so, having those conflicting feelings with the passage, I'm compelled to literally wrestle with it. Today's scripture is such a passage. And it has to be coupled with Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You'll recall when Jacob dies, Joseph's brothers say, okay, daddy's gone, now Joseph's going to give us our just desserts. And Joseph responds, even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. As with so many very familiar Bible stories, it's easy to hear the point and yet in many ways to not hear the whole point. It's easy to say that what looked like a bad thing through God actually turned out good, or that God makes something good out of every situation. Though both statements are absolutely true, too often when we make such statements, we gloss over the spiritual and emotional struggles, and we gloss over human responsibility. Occasionally, now I'm making up another word here. Occasionally, I am re-amazed at something I encounter in the Bible that I have not for a while. And so again, I'm going to burst our bubble. Y'all, in the 20th and the 21st century, did not invent sibling rivalry. I'm sorry. I know you think we did, but we didn't. We did not invent family dysfunction. I know you think we did, but we didn't. We did not invent lust. I know you think we did, but we didn't. We did not invent false accusations. We did not invent inequitable justice systems. In short, we did not invent anything that we humans deal with. Now, our methods of dealing with them look differently. Our technology of experiencing them are different. But the human dynamic has not changed at all. Maybe you've thought about this before, but I'm going to remind you again. The family that were the ancestors of the Christian faith was the poster family of dysfunction. They weren't wearing halos. They weren't going around seeking kumbaya. They were the poster family for dysfunction. Parents are not supposed to play favorites. Joseph was daddy's favorite, and Jacob didn't even try to hide it. Now, this is me. But to me, Joseph comes across as a spoiled brat. No wonder his brothers wanted to get rid of him. That's just John. Now, his brothers were liars, schemers, and opportunists. Sounds a lot like Daddy, doesn't it? Now, granted, we should cut them some slack because they are before the Ten Commandments. They are way before Jesus. Nonetheless, all of these dynamics culminated in Joseph being sold to the Midianites, who then sold him to the Egyptians, where he is then falsely accused of attempted rape and thrown into prison. His fortunes finally change, and through God's presence and power, Joseph becomes ruler of Egypt, second in command only to Pharaoh. Now, I have just described in about 50 words approximately 13 years of struggle, fear, and heartache. I am very slow to tell someone who is going through a difficult time that God is going to bring some good out of their situation. Matter of fact, I rarely say it. Why? Don't you believe, John? Don't you believe that God will bring something good out of their situation? I absolutely do. But I never want to risk minimizing the pain the person is experiencing at the moment, whether it's physical pain, fear, grief, whatever it may be. I really don't believe that Joseph spent all 13 years, most of it in prison, saying, "Hey man, it's all good. It's good, man. It's good. Because I know that God is working something good out of this, man. It is all good. I just love sitting in here in prison because I'm just waiting for God to do something." I don't think so. I seriously doubt it. When Joseph interpreted the cupbearer's dream and the cupbearer was being released from prison, Joseph told him in Genesis 40:14, "But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place." Now, it does not appear that though Joseph was making the most of a bad situation, that he was all happy just anticipating the good that was going to come out of this situation. He wanted out. The pain is real. And sometimes long, and the purpose or good to be revealed is sometimes a long time in the coming. And I can imagine that there were times when Joseph said, "You know, I just really wish I'd kept my dreams to myself." From the relational dynamics, several actions led to Joseph's imprisonment. First, he goes around bragging about his dreams while he's wearing his fancy coat that his daddy gave him, while his brothers are hard at work in the fields with the sheep. His brothers' jealousy led them to hate Joseph, which motivated them to almost kill him and end up selling him into slavery. A married woman's lust for another man led to Joseph being falsely accused and imprisoned. Now, did God work all of these to fulfill God's plan? Yes, absolutely. But there is an issue that is easily overlooked. How much did God orchestrate directly, and how much did God work around and ultimately accomplish God's purpose? If we just quickly read the story of Joseph, it is easy to say that God worked everything out and reduced the action of the brothers and Potiphar's wife as necessary events to accomplish God's purpose. That would make them puppets and God the author of their evil actions. I can't go there. But Joseph clearly understands that everything that happened is being part of God's plan to save the nation of Israel. Both are true. And with both being true, there is a challenge and a hope. The challenge is this. We can never minimize human decision and human actions. We can never minimize them, whether we're talking about our decisions or actions or the decisions or actions that have adversely affected us. Joseph's brothers' decisions and actions were evil. Killing is evil. That's what they started to do. Throwing somebody in a pit is evil. Selling them into slavery is evil. That did not come from God. Potiphar's wife lusting for Joseph was evil. Her accusing him of attempted rape was evil. That did not come from God. James 1:13-16 instructs us, "No one when tempted should say, 'I'm being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved." We are not puppets. We are responsible for our decisions or actions. Regardless of how well the circumstance may come out in the end, human beings are responsible for not only their decisions and actions, but also for the motivation behind them. But Joseph is clearly convinced that all of this was part of God's plans. His brothers intended to do him harm, but God had a grand purpose at work. "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today." God knew Joseph. He knew at that time in his life he was spoiled, and he'd go around bragging about his dreams. He didn't tell him to, but he knew Joseph. And God knew Joseph's brothers, and God knew that they were so jealous and hated their little brother so much, who was daddy's favorite, that if they could get rid of him, that they would. God knew that. So what am I getting at? God is not the author of evil. God did not put it in the minds of the brothers to sell Joseph into slavery. But God knew they would. So when they did, God used it. Because though the brothers intended harm to Joseph and Potiphar's wife intended harm to Joseph, the story points out a very crucial point that is also easy to quickly overlook. When Joseph was sold to Potiphar, Genesis 39:2 says, "The Lord was with Joseph." And when Joseph was put in prison because of the false accusation of Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39:21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." God knew the evil of Joseph's brothers and Potiphar's wife, and they were allowed to carry out their evil. But God was with Joseph. And though it took a while, God turned their evil intents into the positive outcomes of God's plan. I don't know about you, but I wish that every time something bad was about to happen, God would step in and stop it. I wish that every person that has negative or evil intents would be stopped by God, that God would always intervene. And selfishly, I wish that every time that I'm about to say something harmful or do something rash that I know is a mistake, I wish God would step in front of me and stop me. God gives me warning signs, but leaves the decisions and actions to me. Jacob's favoritism and Joseph's bragging and his brother's hatred and Potiphar's wife's lust all led to several years of difficulty for Joseph. God allowed it all to happen. But God had a plan. And God took all of the evil intents and used them to bring about God's grander purpose, because God was always with Joseph. And God is always with us. Sometimes we're thrust into some hard places because of our sins and mistakes. Sometimes we're thrust into some hard places because of the sins and mistakes of others. Sometimes we're thrust into some hard places because of the malicious intent toward us from others. Sometimes we're thrust into some hard places because of illness or some other issue which was not caused by anyone. Life just happens and life throws us curves. God does not always deliver us. God does not always make the circumstance better. But God is always with us. And in the hands of God, situations and circumstances that are hard and even painful can be used to carry out God's greater purpose for our lives. And so the story of Joseph leads me to two conclusions that though they are extremely simple, we are dependent upon the grace and the strength of God to live them out. The first one is, I pray that I am so in tune with God that all of my decisions and actions are in God's will, so that I am always in line with God's plan and a benefit to others. The second is, I pray that I remember that regardless of the situation or the circumstance, God is always with me. And God will work out even the most negative circumstances of my life to fulfill God's greater plan. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, as human beings, we just wish sometimes you would just take all of the evil and all of the meanness and just take it out of this world. Sometimes we wish that you would just somehow hit a button in us so that you stop us in our tracks before we make some of the mistakes that we make. We wish that when we're going through hard times, that we could see the grander result that is going to take place on the other side. But Lord, we don't always get that. But Lord, what we do get is your presence with us. And whenever you are present with us, you give us the strength to have victory even in the midst of the difficulties. And that if we will follow you, we will see the fulfillment of your grander plan, even if some of the pieces that we have to be part of are not to our liking. We know that if we trust in you, eventually you'll work everything out to your good and to your glory. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for the benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. And the ushers will escort you out.